it's amazing the grace that you have, but you don't have it until you need it, you know?
Family man, yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Well, Scott, it is going to be a pretty day up here in northern Indiana. Maybe you can tell that I have a little bit of a sniffle. We just got back this weekend. Debbie and I were at a homeschool event, our first one really of the year, at Cedarville University, home of the Cedarville Hornets, maybe?
No,
they're bees or something flies.
Yellow Jackets.
Wasps? Yellow Jackets.
Cedarville
Yellow Jackets.
Is that right? I'm going to have to look it up now. My kid goes there and I don't remember.
Someone with bees. because I saw, you know, a statue or two of them. So we were there just Saturday, went Friday, stayed in the one hotel in the town. I mean, there is nothing in that town.
Oh, yeah. Not a thing.
Have you ever eaten at that Colonial Pizza place?
Nope.
Oh, man. They have great pizza. No kidding. I mean, it is. They have a chicken bacon ranch pizza. Just get a small one. You can get a 9-incher and split it with your bride. And, I mean, that's enough. And it was really, really good. But there's nowhere to eat. You have a Subway, the Colonial Pizza, and then you have Mom and Dad's, which is a square building right across the street from the main entrance that they make hamburgers and milkshakes. But it looks like it couldn't be 12 feet square. I mean, it is so tiny. So we did that. We had a great time and a lot of good dads. You know, it is kind of ironic that I used to do these conventions and all these speaking events, you know, go to churches and men's events, and I would have 8 kids unloading our RV or trailer, you know, and I would kind of be the talent, you know, where I just kind of walked around and said, put the boxes over here, you know, and now I'm it, you know, I unload the whole thing.
Oh, that ain't right.
It just doesn't seem right. Hmm. You know, my kids kind of feel guilty. Like, Dad, I'm sorry you have to do it all by yourself. See ya. You know, so it's limited feeling sorry for us. So we got home late Saturday night and still haven't unloaded the van because that's all we needed was minivan. We have put down all the seats in it. By the way, if you ever get a minivan, the Dodge Stow and Go. Kids, Stow and Go. We got a really good deal because a friend of ours, they were downgrading. We got a couple of years ago and it was in perfect mint condition. Since then, we've destroyed it. I mean, I think my daughter hit a mailbox like a week later, but everything's falling apart. But the Stow and Go is amazing. All the seats fold flat into the car. I mean, except the driver's seat and the other seat. I mean, you don't have to take them out. Even the ones right behind the driver's seat, they just hit one button and it folds up and goes inside the floor. It is awesome.
That would be very convenient.
The other.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, where you have to pull them out and they're heavy and get them clipped in.
Yep.
But that's all we need right now when it's just two of us because it's got a lot of space in it, but it's still filled with stuff. I got to empty that. But today's Abe's birthday. He turns 22 years old today. It's really
wow.
Shocking to me. Shocking.
That went fast, I'm guessing.
It went fast. Oh, man. Well, you know it. I mean, yep. you just feel like they're little kids. And in fact, we've got, I mean, maybe this might be one of the greatest family inventions is the, oh, I don't even know what it's called, but hey, Google, hey, Alexa. But, you know, now they have we have one that has a little screen on it. So it shows pictures. We also have a thing called the Skylight, which is super cool. You can look it up. People can send photos to it just through an email. Basically, it's an iPad or a tablet designated as a receiver of photos, and it only displays as a frame. But, you know, people take pictures and I take pictures and I send it to it, but it's constantly scrolling through those. And it's just an amazing thing to see pictures of your 22-year-old kid as a 9-year-old kid, and how terrible our memories are as dads that, you know, you kind of forget what they, you forget they look that way. You forget they were that way. And I guess at the time you thought, oh, I'll never forget. You know, this is the way it's always going to be. And little do we know that if it weren't for those photos, they'd almost be forgotten. So today we get to celebrate Abe. I think the kids are going to go play spike ball in a gym sometime. And we're going to do the traditional, you know, gather everybody. I mean, the decorations we put up last night, right after he went to bed. And we're running down to the end of our spring birthdays. We have one more. Actually, we have two in April. But, I mean, it feels like they're every week. It's just exhausting. It's exhausting. So anyway, so with the cold and all that, I don't feel super, super peppy. But Scott, we're recording it a couple days early because you're on your way north from Cincinnati. In fact, I met a guy, Scott, who lives down near you, who's a listener. And I said, you should get together with Scott because he lives just a little bit. I can't remember the name of the town. I think a little bit east. Or west.
Dallas, Texas, maybe.
Maybe that was it. Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
So, for
any new listeners, Todd is a little geography challenged when it comes to where Cincinnati. I live.
Yeah, I know.
Been all over the country, but Cincinnati just seems to be near anything.
It does seem to be near a lot of things. You're right there by Nashville, you know. But he said he was only about 20 minutes, I think. Cincinnati, so
that is close.
Anybody who's there, make sure you stop in and say hi to Scott. But you're heading north to see Henry.
Yes.
And so we're doing that a little bit early. So what's your plan?
Well, Luke is on spring break, which I guess I figured that out when you said you were going to Cedarville. I'm like, oh, I guess all the students leave and then you guys go in for the homeschool thing.
Yeah, they did leave. There were still some stragglers.
Yeah. So he's home, and so we're going to go up there for a couple of days. And help out a little bit. They have a chest freezer coming today, which my wife is going to be there for at their apartment.
But their apartment is not where Henry is,
it's
correct?
It's almost an hour away from where Henry is.
Okay. So
they've been staying in an Airbnb, but they've been going back and forth sometimes to the apartment. Uh-huh. And they've already filled up their entire freezer at their home, but also they've almost filled up the one at the Airbnb as well with milk.
Yeah.
Because Abby has to store it all and just keep pumping and pumping. So for any moms who've snuck in and are listening, who've done that before, you know what that's like.
Yeah, I saw a meme that went by. I don't know how I saw it, but I did. And it was, or maybe it wasn't a meme, but it was a post. And it was, it looked like this coffee creamer that was, you know, coffee creamer bottle. And there's a note attached to it. And obviously it's in an office setting, you know, where people put their lunches in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And it says, to the person who's been stealing my coffee creamer, it's breast milk, but it is organic. So you should be healthy.
Wow.
I'm just like, oh man, I think I would vomit right there.
So anyway, that's their big event for the week. Apparently Henry is doing well with the steroids. And I don't know. I try and keep up with all the medical details, but basically
I was just there today. So
yeah, I
think that is correct.
Yeah, basically I'm just like, well, I'll keep praying, and you know,
right.
The number that matters to me is the one that says he's 1 pound something.
Yeah, like, 1 pound 7 ounces, I think, right now.
That's a tiny baby. So
I know, but you know, is there just like praising God for that big chunky kid right now, you know, and that's so, that's amazing to me. Your perspective does change, you know, especially when they finally bring him home, you know, and they'll hold him next and they're like, that kid is a giant over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other kids in the NICU are, you know, 3-4 pounds. And it's like, that's triple, quadruple times my grandson is. I'm like, that's anyway.
I assume, is it shocking when, not shocking like bad, but shocking, even when you see him each time, do you, or is it surprising? Maybe that's a better word. How small he is. Are you used to that?
Shocking is the right word. I literally feel a little bit in shock when I see him because it's just so obvious. Like, this is not a baby that should be outside the womb yet.
Right.
They're doing it, you know, and
that's the shocking part. Yeah, I mean, really, how resilient God has made a baby that was never made to be where he is out, and he's out and he's surviving.
The really amazing, cool part to me is seeing, I mean, even the first time I saw him, I could tell he already had tiny little fingernails.
Yeah, that's shocking.
Even eyelashes were there. Like, he won't be in the third trimester until, I think, today or tomorrow. He was barely over the halfway mark, and yet all the parts were there. Now, they're not all fully developed, but...
But they're still there,
and then that's the part that freaks me out, is that they're not fully developed, and then they start talking about things like, oh, he's got a couple of hernias, and I'm like, what do you mean hernias? Mm-hmm. Like, the same kind of hernias that we get? Well, yeah, I mean, but it's pretty routine for a baby this early, and at a certain point, they'll have to...
Do something about
if
that.
If they don't resolve on their own, they'll have to actually do surgery on them, and I'm like, they do surgery on a 2-pound baby or whatever, you know?
Right. But it is amazing how I've been kind of, you know, because your wife and daughter, they use a lot of abbreviations.
Yes.
That, like, even NICU, you know, you think you know what that is, but when someone says that, you're not quite sure. You couldn't define it, you know?
Right.
And so they talk about things, but it is amazing how many of those things tend to rectify themselves over time. You know, like that PDA, they said, I saw that they want, well, I'm not even sure what it is, but they wanted to close up. And I saw, like, for some premature babies, it takes up to like 2 years before it closes up. Wow. But they said, but it usually closes up on its own. And it's just amazing to me.
If I'm not mistaken, the PDA, I'm going to get it wrong now.
Something in the heart, right? This is the medical part of our show.
I think it has to do with, so when he's in the womb, he's not breathing air. It's all coming through the fluid.
Uh-huh.
And I think the PDA is something in there that has to close up for his lungs to operate on air when he comes out of the womb. So I think it's some sort of flap that has to close up. And
this is getting too technical.
Yeah, exactly.
House guy. You've lost us because you know, you're just talking doctor stuff now.
Yeah, that's how I feel. It took me multiple days before I finally figured out what they were talking about there. And I'm obviously still not sure. So,
right. Obviously, because we don't know what the heck he's talking about. But my observations from the way your wife is writing and Abby writes and even the pictures, that it seems like that they're able to breathe a little bit. I mean, you know, that it doesn't, I don't want to say it's not as stressful because it still feels stressful, but maybe they're more comfortable right now.
Yeah. And their mood seems to go up and down with however he's doing, however he's responding,
reacting
to stuff. And but the last few days, it's definitely gotten better. You know, I guess part of my worry and stress is just I'm well aware it can turn on a dime. And I know they all are too. I try and just let the NICU doctors and nurses set the stage for how I should feel about it. Because if they're not panicking, then it's probably not a big panic.
Yeah.
Because to me, hernias and, you know, a little flap that has to close and like all that stuff. I mean, that sounds like major stuff.
Right.
Apparently it's not for.
So do you have to fight this, Scott? Because I know sometimes as a dad, or maybe even just as a man, sometimes we don't allow ourselves to go into that hopeful, you know, that.
Yeah.
Because it feels unrealistic, you know? And so I don't know, again, about you, but you have to fight that just to let them be hopeful and positive without you being not the wet blanket, but the reality. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Because I think then they turn on you like, you don't just don't think this is going to happen. You know, you don't think God, you know, and it's not that you don't feel that at all.
Yeah.
But because I've been accused of that, you know.
I'm glad to hear another man say that because I'm trying to be hopeful and believe and trust and all that. And I do. It's just, I asked my wife just the other night because she came home as a surprise this weekend. Just said, hey, if you would pray for me and any of you guys that want to pray for me on this, I appreciate it. Because my faith has been rocked, obviously, in this. And it's just, you know, moment by moment, it, you know, especially at the beginning, it was like, okay, how am I going to be okay if the worst happens?
Right.
Do I still trust that God is good? And because, I mean, I've, you know, we know a family who laid their teenage son to rest at the beginning of COVID, and we did a little drive-by funeral because they couldn't do an actual funeral. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't know how you get through that. And, you know, like I've said, I don't know if I said it on here or not, but I stood with my best friend in the NICU when his baby was born with cerebral palsy. And, you know, we prayed and things didn't go the way we wanted to, you know? And, so it's, you know, it's tough when you're, when it's like, okay, God, you're in charge. I really, 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 really want it to be this way, God, but you know, your will be done. I'll try to still trust you anyway, that's the, you get what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, I had a friend who said that, you know, he'd say, Todd, could you pray that I won't desire riches, but that God would make me rich in, at the same time, you know, and I know what he was saying, because I've thought the same, you know, help me to be patient, but don't really try me. But, you know, the thing I think is comforting to me, and I don't know if it's comforting to you or not, but I know you'll be okay, you know, because even those people who go through horrendous, horrendous things, you know, I just go back to that hiding place, you know, Corrie ten Boom, where she asked her dad something and she says, you know, how will I be able to? And he says, you know, it's like being giving a train ticket. You don't need the ticket until you get on board, you know? And I think it's the same thing. It's amazing the grace that you have, but you don't have it until you need it, you know? Mm. And I think, you know, whatever happens, you're going to do great, Scott, you know, I mean, really. But I think for me, the hard part would be, you know, like what I said, I just know that I have a tendency to ruin everybody else's joy, you know, and it's just like, oh, here comes dad again.
The two kids that have been home with me the most, my youngest two, Will and Katie, I've been joking with them, like, and the three of us are all introverts. And I just looked at Katie and I'm like, why do I talk? Because, you know, I just...
Because it always ends up bad, doesn't it?
Exactly. I'm like, why do I say anything? And Will, I've said that to him too recently, because, you know, sometimes I'm just like, you know, I say the wrong thing, and then they're like, oh, but he's going to be fine, and everything's going to be great, and God's good, and all the time. And
well, he still has a long way to go.
Right, exactly.
And you're like, yeah.
I try not to say that too much, but it comes out once in a while, and yeah.
I know it. Well, even sometimes you think you're saying the good thing that will be encouraging. I said something to my wife the other day, and I mean, she took it as a bad thing, and I'm like,
yeah,
man, that didn't go as I planned it, because it was totally, and I can't say, well, this is how I meant it, because then she'll say, but that's not how I took it. You know, I'm like, yeah, I know.
It's supposed to get easier the longer we're married, you know?
Yeah, well, I know. Yeah, so that's just, I mean, it's just hard. Yeah. Well, even like, and this is such a small, small comparison, and maybe it's a terrible comparison, but, you know, like my son, Jed broke his finger. I think I said that.
Jammed it. They broke it.
Oh yeah. No, he jammed his finger. He jammed his right forefinger. Oh yeah. This is all since then. So he jammed his right forefinger 2 weeks ago at a game, you know, and it was pretty painful. He was worried about how he was going to play on this big tournament they had last weekend. Man, was that only last weekend? On this big tournament that was going to be the Midwest tournament. Teams are all gathering, the Pacer, you know, practice field house, whatever. And they were playing the number one team the first, and Jed has just been, like I said, it's smoking hot the last couple times, you know, 26, 25 points. And I mean, again, people tell me and tell his mom, man, that kid can play ball. I mean, he can play it. That's, you know, awesome. And so anyway, so Debbie went down because it's the tournament was first thing Thursday morning, all day Friday, all day Saturday. And I'm like, I don't know if I can be there the whole time. So I said, why don't you go down? I'll come in after, you know, like Thursday evening. And so I text, his first game's at 8 against the toughest team. I text it, I don't know what time, 7:30. Is Jed all ready to go, you know? And she goes, well, he was practicing. The ball hit his forefinger, his left forefinger, so the opposite one. Something happened. They didn't know. And he passed out, you know, and I mean, he was laying on the bench. He looked terrible and they made it through the game. He didn't play the game. They got trounced by 30 points. I think even the coach on the other team told their coach, who told my wife, oh man, that was a game changer for us. Even he said, we planned our whole defense against that number 32, which was my son. And so he missed it and they took him to the ER. They said it was a, you know, that first knuckle in your finger was broken. And Jed was really relieved because he said the coach was putting pressure on him to play. Like, I think you can work through it, Jed. And Jed's like ready to throw up. He said, I don't think I can do it. You know, and he's tough. So anyway, so yeah, he's broken. But all that to say, you know, even his mom is excited and, you know, like, oh, maybe he can play college ball. And you know, Jed says, I want to play pro ball, you know, and he watches and dreams. And I mean, in my head, I'm thinking, you know, you're 5'8", you know, you're probably not going to be any much taller than that. I mean, even the doctor said, well, I think it will be okay in the growth plate because it looks like it stopped, you know, and his mom's excited and thinks he could play because people keep telling him. And I'm just like, I want to go, Jed, you know how many people play pro ball? Not very many. Yeah. And I look like this dream killer. I mean, I've written a book on dream killing and I have to do everything in me to say, boy, Jed, if anybody can make it on sheer determination, you can. You got the ability and you got the skills to pay the bills. But that's hard. That's hard for me to do. And I feel like I do that in a lot of other areas too. I don't know. Maybe we should just not talk.
The older I get, the more I find myself choosing to just hold back, you know, and most of the time I'm thankful that I didn't say anything.
That's really good.
You know, I forget who said it. It might've been Mark Twain, but somebody said, I have often regretted things I've said. I've almost never regretted not saying something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Those are wise words.
Even my wife will accuse me of, you know, trying to get that last word, you know, that little mumble under your breath. And I never do that. I mean, I said something the other day that I didn't even think my wife heard. I really said it to make myself feel better, you know, and she heard me and she texted me and I'm like, oh no, here we go again.
I had one of those recently when I thought the phone had hung up and it hadn't yet. And then she called right back and was like, did you know? Oh, great.
Hello? I can't hear you. Scott Moore, he's not here.
Yes.
I know it.
I think communication might be a good theme for prayer request this week. Cause especially, I mean, there's, you know, all of us, but watching Abby and William go through this, like they're, you know, opposites attract kind of thing.
Yeah,
where, you know, they got married and they were going to have some fun figuring out how to communicate anyway.
Right. Now,
but then in the midst of this, they just are so different personality wise and them trying to figure out what they're saying. You know how it goes when you're newly married. Sometimes it feels like you're speaking a foreign language, you know, in the what you understand or don't understand from your wife. So I've prayed for them a bunch on that where I'm
that's
like,
good. And really all the dads should, because, you know, really, you can say, and I have, I mean, I've said things that my wife still brings up, not very often, in those kind of really these kind of critical times,
yeah,
you know, that we can, our words or our even our expressions can leave some scars. And so let's pray for Will, because that's our thing. In fact, let's pray for him right now. Father, I just pray for Will as a fellow dad and a husband. And I know that when your bent is numbers or doing it right, sometimes all the emotion of he looks so great and isn't it amazing, he's got to be, you know, that sometimes we say too much or we reveal our lack of faith or we just reveal our own personalities. I pray for two things. I pray for Will, that his words would be gentle and kind and he would see through your eyes. I pray that he would see Abby as someone who needs protecting and lifting up and sacrificing for. And I pray for Abby that you would just give her really thick skin and make her eyes blind and her ears deaf to some of the things that he might say or reactions he might do. And I just pray that on the other end of this, and there will be another end, they will have seen you work in Henry and in themselves, and then they would feel closer together and as a team and as a family and all this. And we only come to you because you hear us. And I pray that you would just do something miraculous. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, so... wow, we've just been sitting here and we're like almost out of time.
Yep.
This is good. I hope it was good for you, Scott, because it was good for me.
Yes, it was. Thank you.
And I hope all you other dads listening, you know, that you just know you're in the same, we're all in the same boat. I think that's one of the things I like about gatherings, you know, that I just was with a bunch of dads this past weekend. And, you know, just to hear not, and they, some of them have successes, but just to hear that they're making it through. I talked to one dad who had a bunch of kids, over a dozen, and he was just telling about he and his wife are going through a really hard time. And he said, I appreciate it, Todd, that you've told us before that you've gone through some hard times with your wife. And that's because we have. And I've told you before, I've had dad say, Todd, you don't really fail as badly as you do. You know, do you just make that up to make us feel better? And I'm like, I wish. I said, if I would love to get it all right and rub it in your faces, you know, but I don't. And, you know, I talked to another dad who, an amazing family, you know, but he's still working on being a husband because it's hard. But it is worth it. So don't give up, Dad. Don't give up. And pray for Scott. Pray for his wife, Jen. Pray for his daughter, Abby, and her husband, Will. And, of course, for little Henry and the doctors and all that and who are involved. And, you know, I was looking at a picture of Henry today, and I thought, you know, it really is going to be an amazing story someday, you know,
yep.
Just when I meet him. Someday, you know, and I'm sure I'll be on his bucket list of famous people to meet.
It'll be on my bucket list for you to meet him. That'll be
cool. You know, and just to say, you know, I prayed for you when you were right out of the oven. And, you know, all these other people, I see lots of comments and there are a lot of people who are praying who don't leave comments. And like I said, you know, my kids ask all the time, have you heard anything from Scott? How's Henry doing? And so they're praying as well. And that's a pretty cool thing. So anyway, so Dad, have a great weekend. And as I would say to Scott, be a good husband, be a good father. Do it because you're Dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.
honey, she's pregnant. Doing okay? What?
She's pregnant.
No.
Not that surprised?
No. She just came home to see the kids and I.
Oh, okay.
And she went back last night.
Uh-huh. That's not as surprising as being pregnant.
No, definitely not. No, she just came home. The surprise was her coming home. The kids didn't know. I knew when she told. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, hey, hey. It was funny.
Sounded funny.
What am I
thinking? I ruined your whole story, so sorry.